Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Hello. That's what we've come to. Hello. Hi. Welcome to Shenanigans, the, I about said the anime, but this is not an anime. This is a podcast.
The anime that you're about to watch is B&B.
Oh. So I hear that you've been getting bombarded from one of the asshole neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely I have been. It's been really rough and horrifying. How dare they be so polite and nice in my Discord DMs?
Yeah, how dare. It's just funny because she was like, "Has Blue told you that we've been talking?" I was like, "No, why?" She's like, "Oh yeah, because ever since we finished Oshinoko, I've been talking to her about it." I was like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sporadic because, well, you know better than anybody, I am on Discord at very strange intervals. So
yeah, I tell everybody that you'll get back to me in 3 to 5 business days, give or take.
Yeah, I am not the person that you call in an emergency, because I will likely not answer. Like,
I found this out firsthand. I accidentally called her the other day while we were booking shit. Did not pick up.
No, I didn't even know you had called until you sent a message being like, "Ignore that." And I was like, "Ignore what?"
Well, so the problem is, right, is because we were booking the shit, and so therefore I had to input, like, your personal details.
Mm.
So it was like, I have the email address that I set up for us, which, by the way, we now have new official fancy B&B anime email addresses. It's very fancy.
We do. And they will be in the description of the YouTube videos for business inquiries only. Don't get your panties in a twist.
Oh, but yeah, so it was... So I was like going through, I was like, I have that, but it's like, I'm just going to put all your actual personal shit in there since I know you're more, or you're probably more apt to check that. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, debatable.
So I was reaching out on my phone because the way I have everything set up on my desk, like my phone was just like way out in front of me. I was just going through unlocking it and trying to like get everything done, and then I accidentally hit the call button while I was getting ready to type in your email address, and then I saw it ringing. I was like, no.
yeah, but we have with that announcement, I suppose that's how we're going to officially announce that we've officially booked Japan.
Yeah, Japan is officially happening. It's only taken us 5 years.
With a pandemic in the middle, so.
Yeah, that put things on a real much slower trajectory, because you had plans of going to the Olympics, and I had plans to try to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, I had it booked. I had everything booked to go to Japan during 2020, and then obviously nobody went anywhere in 2020, so. Yep. That didn't happen. And then we were locked down, and then I started university, and then I had surgery, and Brad had his own health problems. And so it's been a whole roundabout way to end up here. But we are officially going in October this year. So yeah, we have so much content planned for the trip. We have so many different parts of the trip already planned, and so many parts that we are in the process of planning. We are both very, very hyped at this time, as you could probably imagine. And we are going to be flat broke when we get back.
I'm flat broke now. What do you mean?
I mean, fair. Yeah.
Oh, I'd had all that money saved because I had planned on like having to front everything for the hotels and stuff.
Mm.
So like I had all this money like just set aside for it, and then I checked my bank account this morning and I was like, fuck me. Like, I'm good, but I just looked and I was like, oh wow, there went $4,200 all at once.
Yeah, and I got my sticky note of how much I gotta send you.
Again, I'm not pressed about it. I knew up front like what about how much everything was gonna cost, so I was like, fuck it, I had the money set aside, so I am not pressed about it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But I was just like, ooh, that's the most amount of money I've spent in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had all of my Japan money set aside for years now. I just need to go to the bank and get it transferred, and then I can transfer it to you. But I don't like leaving the house.
It's fine.
But I did pay for my flights, and you paid for your flights, and we're going to go, and it's going to be great.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm
excited too.
But yeah, we've got so much content planned. Some of it bullshit, some of it legitimate, all of it fun. Yes. God, I'm so excited. I'm so giddy. Like, it doesn't feel real. It's probably not going to feel real until we get there. And even then, it's going to be like,
What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. Why were we allowed to come here? Why?
Fully. It really doesn't feel real. It's like, I'm not, like, I'm excited for it, but I'm not excited for it because it doesn't feel like it's happening.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be, like, more stressed than I am, like, going to, I guess, like, feel the wonder until we actually get there. And then it's going to be like, oh. Okay, yeah, this is actually happening. Oh God.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel a lot of feelings, but they don't really feel like they're feelings.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. As we all know here, we don't do feelings on this podcast anyway.
No, we do not.
Nope.
I got putty from physio.
You got what?
Like,
putty. Silly putty?
Like, it's physio putty, so I don't really know how to describe it. But it's basically slime, but strong. It's like Play-Doh on steroids. It's for my strength training, because I'm now officially into the strength rehabilitation aspect of it. I still have some mobility to go, but we're slowly transitioning from mobility into strength, which is great, because I still drop puzzle pieces.
Oh.
Yeah, my pinching is really hard. Like, I can pinch, but I don't have the strength. And the force that I can use right now is still quite minimal. Because if you think, like, I can carry 1 pound of weight, so that means I can use about 1 pound of force, which is not very much force at all.
Not in the slightest.
No. So I was doing a puzzle with my mom the other day, and I was okay for the first like half an hour, but after about a half an hour, I could not pick up puzzle pieces anymore. I could not hold them in my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at right now. So I've been given this putty, and I have to like squeeze it basically just in my hand, and then I have to pinch it. And then I have to pinch it with all my individual fingers. And then I have to push, like, dig my fingers in and then push them out for all of my different fingers. And then my little finger. So you should just
use chopsticks.
Right. Yeah. My little finger is the hardest. I mean, I was expecting it would be anyway because the little fingers are weak. But also my incision line is on that side. So my little finger tendon was, like, very much manipulated for the surgery. And, like, I remember when I first got out of the cast, I couldn't like move my finger like down at all. So now I can do that, but I couldn't touch my little finger and my thumb together because my thumb wouldn't go over and my little finger wouldn't go down. So I didn't have that mobility at all. So now I have that mobility. I don't know if you can see, my little finger is still just not quite as tucked on my right hand, but like it's nearly there.
It's getting there.
It's getting there. But yeah, considering it was like this when I first had surgery. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So not that you can see, because you don't see in this one. Ha, sucks for you, you blindness. Really great at insulting people.
Audio only listeners, you guys are shit out of luck. But also video listeners, you're also shit out of luck. Because I paid for really expensive artwork for the YouTube videos instead of actually putting our cameras on there.
Yeah, because we don't have cameras for the podcast. Because we're sitting here for like an hour, and nobody looks good when you're sitting in a spot for like an hour.
Well, I mean, speak for me. You look phenomenal all the time. Me, on the other hand, my webcam is just broken. I look into it and it's like, psh!
Bollocks. Lord of all bollocks.
Oh.
You forget I can see my own face.
I mean, so listen, at this point, it has been well established. I'm the one who's right here.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Listen, there's a reason why in every single Discord server I'm in, my name has some sort of variation of Overlord in it. I'm the one who's right.
Not in our Discord.
You sure about that? Hang on one moment.
Do not change it while I'm checking. Yeah, it's Hang just on. Your name.
I don't know what you mean. My name has Overlord in it.
I have screenshots of our Discord, okay?
Sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Lying butthead.
Oh, please. You love me and put up with me for some reason or another. I don't fucking know.
Well, one half of that is true.
Oh, it hurts.
My brother today was doing that. He was standing by the pantry because he is like, because I gave him, so there's an English shop. This is such a long-winded story to get to the point. There's an English story, an English shop in town that, well, it's actually just a regular drugstore that has a small part of it where they import specifically English goods. And so one of the big things that we miss from England are the chips, because the chips in England are a different ball game and different breed, and they're way better. Sorry, North America, your chips are good, but they're no English chips. And so we go there and we get like Monster Munch and Skips, and yes, I call them chips because Brad's listening, but crisps to all of us Brits.
I was like, wait, hang on a second. This is some really fucking weird name for French fries. Hang on a second. So you had me confused.
Crisps, yeah. Crisps.
Listen, I understand British terminology. You can use that because okay, that's fine. What I expect crisps. You to use.
Sorry. I translated it in my head. So we go and buy these crisps. We get Monster Munch and Skips and Walkers and stuff. Because Walkers are better than Lay's, even though they're the same company. Walkers are just better. And so we go there. And anyway, we have one bag of Monster Munch left. And so I chucked it at my brother earlier today. I was like, here, you have them. Because they were beef-flavored. Roast beef. And although I think they're vegetarian. I don't know, I haven't read the packet. But I don't have them anyway because they're not my preference. But I threw them at him. And he said they weren't his preference either, so he didn't want to eat them. And I was like, well, fine. And he says, well, thank you for giving them to me anyway. I love you. And then I didn't respond because that's gross. And then he was standing there in the kitchen with his hand cupped to his ear being like, I'm waiting. And I was like, I'm far more stubborn than you, brother. It's not happening.
Oh, totally some fucking shit I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think that's why I call you my brother, because like, honestly, you and him are like very similar.
Oh, it's great. It's fine. I'm here to be the element of chaos in your life that you need, that you don't already get while you're at home.
I was going to say, I've got an IRL chaos and an internet chaos.
Oh, it's okay. The internet chaos is going to be IRL chaos very, very soon.
Yeah, because I don't need more of that. Jeez.
Listen, you can't escape it. You get it while you're at home. You get it while you're on vacation. Yeah. There's no escape whatsoever.
No, there really isn't.
Oh, I'm just excited for beach episode.
Yeah, that's a thing. And that's all the context you're going to get.
That's it. That's it. That's all you're going to get.
But speaking of the beginning of this whole shit, that we didn't really, we weren't at all speaking of the beginning of this shit, but we were talking about sibling energy.
Yep.
Which doesn't relate to anything at all.
This is a beautiful transition. Yeah, this is perfect.
With that transition, let's go back to the first anime that we watched together, Chihaya Furu.
Yep, many, many moons ago, 6 years ago.
Yes.
I stumbled across this little Twitch streamer. Had like one viewer, because I've said it before and I'll say it again, I still do this shit to this day, is I'll pop in to like newer Twitch channels on the Stardew Valley page and just pop in, because as someone who has been there on Twitch and had no viewers for over 5 years, I'm still not salty. Oh, but yeah, as somebody who was in that point, it's like, I don't mind to be that person to just give somebody to chat to, because streaming to nobody sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did it for a very long time. So I stumbled on to this very bright and colorful Twitch channel 6+ years ago now. And it was just, I don't know, some nerd with colorful hair that was just playing Stardew Valley with like no cares in the world.
Yeah. And then you became my mod.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we became besties. And I said, hey, my guy, do you like anime? And you said, hey, my guy, of course I like anime. And so then we were like, we should watch anime together. And I don't remember who found Chihaya.
I think it was you.
I thought it was me too, but I'm not 100.
Yeah, I don't 100% recall, but I think it was you. Mm-hmm. Because it was like our friendship was literally forged over slam poetry and food porn.
Yep. Yeah. Facts. I'm still a huge fan of sports anime, but at the time I was on a huge sports anime kick. I think I just finished Major, and then I had just finished watching Prince of Tennis, the first one. So that was probably about like 350 episodes of anime that I had just binged over a couple of weeks. And then I had expanded from that to more modern sports anime. So I was then watching Free and Haikyuu and a bunch of different other sports animes. And then I stumbled on Chihaya, which I did not know what it was at the time, but it was in that kind of like sports anime recommended list. Like, if you like this anime, you'll like this anime, you know, that kind of thing. And I found Chihaya. I think this is how it went. Like I'm saying, I'm not 100% sure. It was many years ago, but this is what I vaguely remember. And then I think I just said, hey, I found this anime, watch it with me. Pretty much.
Yeah. And I happily did. So, which this is probably like a really long rehashing of what we did for the first season of Chihaya, whenever we covered it.
Yeah.
But it's also been like 2 or 3 years since we first covered Chihaya. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've covered, because God, we've been at this for, by the time this airs, we will have been at this for 4 years, because March 9th of 2020 is our first episode of this.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Chihaya kind of cemented our friendship, because we were friends and obviously you were my mod on Twitch. I'm not sure what came first, Chihaya or modding, I'm not sure, but they were around the same time.
Yeah.
And we were friends, but Chihaya was what really pulled us out of like group situations and into just like one-on-one chats and just like really getting to know each other individually. Because like we were all part of, we were part of a fairly decent sized group. And for most people, like for most, yeah, we just kind of mostly spoke all in the group. And then there were a couple people that we then branched off with and had like more private conversations with. And Chihaya was kind of the thing that transitioned our friendship from just being like group situation friendship to like actually becoming besties. So we have a lot to owe. We owe a lot to Chihaya.
Yeah. And it's so strange whenever I talk about this with people, because again, like I phrase it in the same way that I had phrased it in earlier, in that like our friendship is forged over food porn and slam poetry, because it was literally like Food Wars and Chihaya, because it was literally like, hey, let's watch this really cool card anime. Oh, by the way, how do you feel about a horny food anime? And to which, again, both times are like, fuck it, I'm down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of took off from there. And I don't know, like, if it's just me having been nostalgic because of all the shit I've been through in the past 2 months or what, but it just kind of crossed my mind again, back whenever we were discussing doing Back to Our Roots, whenever I had that idea. It's like, okay, so Stardew is what started this friendship, and then as you said, Chihaya is what really cemented the friendship. And so it was like, what better way to, for one, introduce this new like series to the YouTube channel, but to also bring forth like a huge part of, or to bring back like a huge part of what made this friendship, and just cover the second season, because it's been so long since we've done the first.
Yeah. And we both watched the second season as soon as it came out. And okay. So Chihaya overview. If you haven't seen Chihaya, it is an anime about the card game Karuta, which is a traditional Japanese card game based around these poems that are read. And then the first, there's 100 poems. And the second verses of the poems are printed on playing cards. 50 of them are laid out in front of two people, 25 facing you, 25 facing your opponent. 50 other cards are kept in the deck. The reader will read out the first verse, so you don't know what first verse is attached to what second verse. And then they go to read the second verse, they pick out a random card, and then they read whatever the second verse is. And you have to knock the card away, or like touch the card. The first person to touch that card of that poem wins the card. And you try to basically eliminate the 25 cards in front of you. If you hit the person's card on the opponent's side, then you give them one of yours. So you're always losing cards. So it's basically an elaborate poetry Uno in a way. And yeah. And it's like a traditional card game. And so the premise of the anime is about these three kids that grew up together playing Karuta. And it's a coming-of-age sports vibe anime. I know it's a card game, but it does get quite, like, it's a competitive card game. So it does have that, like the esports equivalent of a tabletop game, except it's a floor, a tatami mat game. You know what I mean? Like, it's very competitive. And it's as emotional as something like Free. It's structured quite similarly to Free, but there is also a coming of age kind of just essence to it that is different from Free, because you're looking at co-ed situations. It's a very surprisingly captivating anime. You would not think from the description of it that it would be something that would pull you in as much as it does, but the games are highly entertaining and the character development is incredibly good across the board. So both of us didn't really know what we were expecting when we first entered this. It was like the nerdiest of nerd anime that we could possibly come across, a traditional Japanese card game anime. So we were like, based on poetry, we were like, okay, we don't know what we're getting into, but we fell in love with the characters and the character development and the story arc. And I think that it's still one of the most slept on sports style animes out there. And if you enjoy that kind of slice of life sport type content and you haven't seen Chihaya, you need to watch it.
I wholeheartedly agree. This is, if anything, I think this is probably the truest show to represent our friendship, both at the time and even still to today, because it is a pure mixture of what you and I want from an anime. You want the sports, and I want the like character building, like high school love story, slice of life drama shit that's going on in it. Although the relationship building in this is way too fucking convoluted, and it makes Kaguya-sama seem tame. In
Well, Chihaya, our main character is the most oblivious and dense character, I think, in anime history.
I can 100% see that, because it's she only cares about Karata. She doesn't care about romance or none of that. She is like how men get flack for like not picking up on like signals and whatnot. That's Chihaya to a T.
She's it's just a really, really, really phenomenal anime that expands several years, because it ranges from when they're like quite young to now second year in high school for this season. I highly recommend that you watch it if you haven't given it a watch. We will be going over the second season today. As we said, we did review the first season way back when, but I think we can pretty much summarize that by saying we fucking loved it. Go watch it, because it's genuinely really good. The second season covers their second year in high school, and it is featuring the karate club at ISA's high school, at Chihaya's high school, and them going through their tournament arc. Is the main storyline for this season. Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything to say leading up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This and Tanaka-kun is always listless, I think, are two of the most slept on animes ever, in my opinion.
I wholeheartedly agree. Tanaka-kun is still in, if I'm not mistaken, hang on, let me just double check this. I mean, it's, I'm not going to have to put my foot in my mouth over this, but I still want to double check it just to make sure that I'm right or not. But I think Tanaka-kun is still in like our top 10 most listened to episodes.
Tanaka-kun's so good.
All right, so do you want to take a guess at our top 10 just purely for shits and giggles?
I have no idea.
So I will give you a hint, at least to...
I feel like Demon Slayer is probably going to be up there just because it was really popular.
Actually, no.
Okay.
Not in the slightest. Some of these are actually really going to surprise you.
Really?
So, number 10, Wise Man's Grandchild.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. That was our first legit episode.
Yep. Number 9, An Amusing Introductions. So, episode 1.
Oh, boy. That's horrific.
Number 8, episode 100, Special An Amusing Introductions.
Oh, God.
Number 7, Free.
Okay, that makes sense. The Free fandom rides hard.
Yep, yep. Number 6, You're Lying, April. Duh.
Yeah.
Although, so here's the thing that bothers me, right? You remember how bad the audio quality was in, like, our first few episodes?
Mm-hmm.
So many of these are amongst those episodes.
Ugh, that's so bad.
So, number 5, Darling in the Franxx.
I got pissed in that one.
Listen, everything after episode 15 didn't happen. Everything up to episode 15 is a perfect 10 out of 10. It got canceled after episode 15. Those last 7 episodes don't exist.
We got a lot of comments. And
if you disagree, fight me.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments on that one. Or at least one comment specifically that I remember about some guy trying to explain it. I can't remember what he was saying, but like it makes sense if you consider blah, blah, blah. I don't remember.
And I don't either. It's been that long.
Yeah, I read it and I remember thinking, okay, that's a fair point. But I just didn't like the way it was executed, that if that wasn't... Okay, so for those who don't know, Darling in the Franxx has a very strange directional change towards the end of the anime that I didn't get. And I didn't like it, and I spoke about it during the episode, that I didn't think that that was a good directional change. I think it to me just seemed like everyone got high and they went on a trip. Like, that's genuinely where it felt like it went. And it was so disappointing because the beginning of the anime was really good.
Yeah, I mean, it literally went through like this really wonderful story of like a post-apocalyptic world of where the world like is powered by the Earth's molten lava core. But then these like creatures try to protect the core, so they, it's like this whole thing of a dystopian future with like this amazing love story built in that is convoluted as all hell, but it's amazingly convoluted. But then it's like, okay, so here's all this shit, and then I'd say everything after episode 15, because the way episode 15 ended, like, you literally could have just tied it up with a bow, left it there, and nobody would have said a fucking word. But then it's like, all right, how y'all feel about space aliens? It's like, yeah, what the fuck?
It really just throws in this extra element that was just so strange. And considering, like, you're on episode 15, like, there wasn't enough real time to build another plot line. Like, there wasn't, it just didn't work for me. So I remember being really, really frustrated by it, because it was set up so well and it was so nicely done. And like you said, it just needed, you know, a final episode to just like 10 years in the future or whatever you wanted to do. Like, it didn't need a lot to wrap up, because they had pretty much wrapped it all up anyway. But I think my point is that even if you're a fan of the show, and you like everything that happened, and you like the changes that they made, and you like the fact that it went off in this separate direction after episode 15, or for any show, if there are viewers who have watched that show and did not understand why something happened, where it was going, what the storyline was becoming, the story writers, the creators of that show didn't do a good job. Because it is the job of creators of any media to tell a story that is legible for the viewer. And if they're not understanding it, if you have to be a really big super fan, or like you have to go through all of these bunny holes and jump through all of these hoops to be able to understand what's happening, they didn't do a good job. because entertainment, the point of entertainment, anime is entertainment. I know we get real emotional about it, but it ain't that deep. It's entertainment. The point of entertainment is to tell you a story, is to take you on an escape from your real world and take you on a journey and do something that is going to make you feel things. All I felt from that was confusion and frustration. And that wasn't the emotion they were trying to get me to feel. So they didn't do a good job.
Yep. Agreed. All right. So yeah. Number okay. four.
Tangent.
Tokyo Ghoul, the first season.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Big fandom.
Yep. It's just they fucked it up after the first season. Which we will never know, because I'm not going to make you sit through the rest of that shit, because it's fucking garbage after season one. Number three, the reason we are actually going through this whole list of top episodes, Tanaka-kun.
Tanaka, yeah. So good.
Yeah. Number two, Komi Can't Communicate, because duh.
Yeah.
That was one of the... Like, whenever it released, like, I remember telling you, like, we gotta fucking watch this because it's fucking great. Because I love the manga. I have a shit ton of it right here on my shelf. Because it's fucking great. We still need to do the second season. I'm surprised we haven't done it yet. I say that as if I'm not the one that makes the fucking schedule. Anyway. And then number one. The fact that this is number one bothers me to no end. Not because of the subject matter, but because of how shit the audio quality is. Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... Fuck me, man.
Yeah, but I mean, what can you do, eh?
You know, perks of being in a apartment with paper-thin walls with a Blue Yeti microphone that are some of the most sensitive bitches on the planet. And also, the bad part about it is, it's not the fact that the audio quality is bad. That's also whenever we were doing episodes that were like 3+ hours long.
Yeah.
So it's our most downloaded episode by far. That was one of the longest and worst audio quality bunch out of everything that we've produced.
Yes.
I mean, you know what? I'm here for it. I'm glad people enjoyed the episode, and Bunny Girl Senpai deserves all the love in the world, because it is a phenomenal show. I just got done rewatching it so I could get ready for the double feature film that is coming out on March 24th. They're doing Rascal Does Not Dream of a Sister Venturing Out and of Knapsack Kid. It's a double feature, going to be in theaters for 2 days on the 24th and 25th. The 24th is subbed and the 25th is dubbed, which baffles me because there is no official English dub release of the show.
Okay.
So that's baffling.
Yeah.
But I will say, I watched the dubbed trailer for it just purely for shits and giggles for the films. That was an accurate voiceover casting. Like, the voices sound very similar. So, good casting. Very good casting. Like that.
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah. So, Chihaya, that was a very long-winded runaround. But, you know, it's nostalgia. This episode is literally just all nostalgia-based.
Yeah.
At this point. We're just here to talk about what brought us together and the shit that we've been through as a podcast.
Fair. Yeah. okay, so Chihaya Furu, I guess we'll have to go through all of the background, considering it's been a million years since we did the first season.
It has been. Let me actually get to the actual Chihaya Furu page. Hang on, I gotta actually look here because it's time for me to change my contacts, so it's harder to see. So Chihaya Furu is a romance slice of life sports anime. We've already covered that much.
Yeah,
it was a manga written by Yuki Suesugu that ran from December 28th of 2007 to August 1st of 2022 for a total of 50 volumes.
Yeah, you got a lot to collect there, bud.
Hell. I want to collect this. Let's. I wonder if the covers are like the Karuta cards.
Oh, that would be so. Oh, and there's 50 of them, so it's like half the.
That'd be fucking sick. But then it's another 1 through 50 with the other 50 cards. So that way you could have a full set. You just got to collect the series twice.
Yeah, they're on Amazon.
Oh, God. Fucking. Oh, God. I want it. I want it so bad.
The manga covers are almost like Chihaya's sister's animation, but like more airbrushed. More like, here, look, I'll just show you, I guess. I guess I'll just like hold it up and then you can see. That's a good
idea. Yeah, I get to see it. None of the rest of you get to see it.
Come on, Amazon. There we go.
It's not like the Back to Our Roots episode. Oh, it's pretty.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then this is the first volume.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Damn it. Should have showed me that. Now I have to collect it. Oh, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, sorry. You can also buy the anime on Blu-ray.
Oh,
it looks like they have all volumes, just as you know.
All right. I need to see if I can get a discount from buying it through Crunchyroll. Can I get a bulk buy discount?
Yeah, okay.
That's like two shelves worth of fucking bookshelf space.
It's only $10 Canadian.
Oh, so that's cheap as shit for me. That's like $7 or $8.
Right?
Yeah, can I get a discount? So the anime was directed by Morio Asaka. Mm. It was done by Studio Madhouse, which I know pisses you off to no end because Madhouse actually did 3 seasons of an anime and you're still never going to get your rugby anime.
I know, but I did get All Out Part 2 in our ZOM 100.
Yeah, that you did. You did officially get that. And its run was from October 4th of 2011 to March 24th of 2020 for a total of 74 episodes plus like 3 OVAs because they did a recap episode in every single season.
Yeah. So season 2 specifically ran from January 12th, 2013 to June 29th. That would be a very quick season. 2013.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's rated PG-13, which is, in my opinion, a little heavy-handed. I can get why, because there are some suggestive tones and some like boob mentions, but it's like high schooler brain. It's not even like boob physics typical anime stuff. It's just like high schooler boys saying high schooler boy shit. And even that I consider to be very tame. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think PG-13 is a little heavy-handed. I get why it has to be that way, because if you mentioned boobs and everything, it goes to shit. Everybody knows that. So I get why. I feel like PG-13 is a little bit heavy-handed. So if you are a parent and wondering if this is safe for your kids, watch it first, because I think PG-13 is strict.
Yeah, it's very strict. I'd say it's probably like a, I don't know, PG-10.
Yeah. Although I will say that the content of the anime, not like the like stress content or whatever, just like the actual structure of the anime, might be a little bit boring for a 10-year-old to watch, because there is dynamics that you have to be a little bit older to understand. And that's nothing against 10-year-olds. It's just that they haven't lived on this earth for very long. So, yeah. They might just not like it. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We like it as adults, but they just might not like it. So yeah, it is rated at 8. The second season specifically is what I'm going to be talking about now. It's rated at 8.38 out of 10 on my anime list, or a 4.22 out of 5 on Anime Planet, which is a 8.44 out of 10, giving it an average score of 8.41 out of 10. It has a drop rate of 2.82%, which is fairly high for a second season, but I think it's still fine. Like, it's not high, it's not low, it's just kind of there. Like,
yeah. I agree. Yeah.
You can find it on Crunchyroll or apparently High Dive.
Is it on High Dive?
And some Netflixes. According to my anime list, it is also on High Dive.
Interesting. I'm checking that out now because I did not realize that Sentai had licensed this. Interesting.
Yeah.
Jihaya. Oh, only the third season is on High Dive.
So seasons 1 and 2 you can find on Crunchyroll, and then the third season is also on High Dive.
Yeah, because season 3 is also on Crunchy. But
yes, it is. Yeah.
It's weird for something like that to be double licensed too, considering High Dive and Crunchy are like direct competitors.
Mm.
Because I remember whenever AMC acquired Sentai and they took all the shit off of Crunchyroll, because they got rid of Food Wars, they got rid of fucking Tonika-kun.
Mm.
Bastards.
Yeah, how dare they get rid of Tonika-kun?
How dare they?
How dare they?
Piss me off. Peed me off.
Yeah, so this season specifically, I mentioned a little bit about it earlier, but this season specifically goes over their second year of high school, including their tournament arc, starting with them now going into the regional tournament as champions from the first season. That is a spoiler, but we are talking about the second season, so you should have been prepared for first season spoilers. No offense.
Yeah, but we never put on chicken hats, so let's...
let's do that. But also, yeah. I feel like this isn't spoilers for the second season. That was spoilers for the first season. You have to deal with that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's they're now entering the tournament arc as regional champions. And they still have the same issues as in their first year with the karate club needing members and that kind of thing. And so it starts off the anime with them building the karate club, which again really ties in strongly to the first season. And then they lay out very quickly what their goals are and where they want to go, and then the season just progresses through that same storyline. There's not much that is super different about this season. It progresses on the plot line that you expect it to, which is comfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so now official chicken hats on for the second season.
One more time.
Yeah, so... yeah, what thoughts, feelings, vibes?
Fun vibes. OP and ED's fun. I mean, mm-hmm. it fits the vibe of the show. OP is definitely more fun than the ED.
Yeah, I liked the OP.
But I guess at the end of the day, though, like, both are forgettable because I don't recall either of them before going into this?
No, I didn't recall them, but when I heard the OP, I got immediately hyped. So it did its job.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I think that's a fairly consistent feel for Chihaya, is that a lot of the like more frivolous or like cherry on top kind of stuff for Chihaya is just good. Like, it's not great, it's not amazing, it's not bad, it's just good. And in some ways, I think it sets it up for the character progression, which is the main attraction to this show, to be highlighted.
Agreed. Because it was, I feel like the first season, whenever we covered this, was kind of like one of the main times I sat down and talked about how much character growth means to me as an individual whenever it comes to storytelling. Because you can have like a shitty storyline, but give me the main character that has like incredible like character growth and like actual reasons behind the character growth, and I am all here for it. Like that's the best thing I could ever ask for.
Yeah.
So just the pure amount of character growth that we got out of all of this, I am a huge, huge fan for, because everybody grows in this.
Yeah. Like,
all of the characters get their own time to shine, and the realization, like even the other characters around them, like realize how much they've all grown too. Like it's an incredible display of storytelling and just pure overall emotion in the throughout the entire season as well. Like I don't remember much from the first season. I meant to sit down and rewatch the first season before going into this one, but I did not because time is irrelevant at this particular point. So I just kind of went into this somewhat blind, and like I was still emotional over a lot of the shit that went on. Never cried, but got emotional over a lot of stuff in it. So very, very good.
Yeah, I agree. The show does a fantastic job of balancing characters. It's something that I've complimented on in My 100 Girlfriends. I think that is probably the most recent example that we've had of really good character balancing. And Chihaya is probably my primary example of how to build a team of characters that flow with each other, grow with each other, have their own trials and tribulations, but don't overtake or like force themselves through, become annoying or like, you know, train or become too much. Jihai's characters are very, very well balanced, and characters that you found that were annoying when they were first introduced, because there are several characters of Chihaya where I see the comments of like, this character was so annoying when they first introduced, and then they become a good character and you like them, and they'll introduce another annoying character and then they become good and you like them, and then they introduce another one, because like we've had three primary times when that's happened, because you have Tai Chi at first within the first season when he's a bully when they're kids. And everyone's like, oh, fuck Tai Chi. And now everyone's literally obsessed with him. Yep. Then you have Komano when they're older, and he is just a disgruntled, like, nerdy kid who doesn't want to be fucking involved in anything. And he's a dick, and you don't like him. And then he finds his footing, and everyone really likes him again. And then with this season specifically, we gain, I only remember her as Eyelashes. What's her name? Hanano. I should have remembered that. We gain Hanano, who is a first year high schooler who's boy crazy and, you know, like just a bit frivolous and doesn't really care about anything other than landing a guy and looking the way that she wants to look, right? And she joins Karata because of Arata. No, not him. I just realized that they rhyme because of Tai Chi. It just rhymed in my head, and then I was like, oh god, that's nice. Because of Tai Chi. And then she sees Ayase as being competition, and then she realizes that she's not because she's a dipshit. And then she starts to fall in love with the poems and starts to fall in love with playing and starts taking it a little bit seriously. And then towards the end of this season, she's genuinely enjoying herself. She's like being an active participant in the team, and she's like genuinely seems like a nice, sweet girl. And I think Chihayafuru as a show is masterful at that pattern of introduce somebody, show all of their worst sides, set your expectation of this character has nowhere to go but up, really, because, you know, Chihaya, they're never going to end up being a murderer or something. Like, it's their level of the worst person this character can be is just annoying. And so set them up as being the most annoying that they can be so that they can be introduced quickly, make an impression, and then develop quickly on a path that makes you like them so that they don't have to necessarily develop within karata, but you still see their growth. So then they're masterful at growing outside of the sport, which is a tactic you don't often see in sports anime.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. They're growing as people, not just as athletes.
Yeah.
Competitors. I don't know if you can classify them as athletes. They definitely are with the amount of physicality that they're doing, but it would be contended.
I mean, so listen, if esports players are called athletes, then these guys are athletes. Let's just go ahead and say that.
So next time you play D&D, you can be like, I am a tabletop athlete.
It is competitive. I am competing against my players.
Yeah.
Which we're playing Friday, and I'm so excited. It's the first episode or session for Othalia.
That's fun. We need to do that voice recording soon.
We gotta write a script first.
We do.
That's the problem, because I want to write like a proper introduction for the world, but it's just like I'm not sure like what I want it to look like. So that's the problem. Oh well, we got time. We've got 4 days.
So much time.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. But yeah. The sport aspect of it itself, which is the part of the show that drew me to Chihaya, still consistently grips me throughout this second season. And even watching the second season a second time, debatably second time, this may be the third time, I don't know. This time, I still found myself completely engaged during the games. I think that, I don't know, it makes a game I knew absolutely nothing about incredibly compelling.
Agreed. Because it's, like, as you and I are both learning Japanese, like, I feel like I had a much greater appreciation for it this time mm-hmm. than watching through it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I adored it the first time through, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, this friendship was forged by the show.
Mm.
But the just something about it just, and like actually learning the language and learning the culture just brought in like a deeper like fondness for the show, I guess. Like it was a lot of fun. It was a very enjoyable watch through this time. Like honestly, I think I enjoyed it more this time than the first time through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I still have my criticisms of the show. I'm not going to say that it's perfect. It's perfect to us in the sense that it is such a like a historical anime for the two of our lives, but it does have its faults. One of the big things that I have mentioned several times in anime is whenever they get foreigners in, they often have Japanese voice actors voice act them, and so their Japanese is perfectly articulate and then their English is heavily accented, and it's just my preference for them to hire foreign voice actors so that then their English is perfect and their Japanese has an accent to it, so it just makes their character more believable.
This one did explain that away though.
Yes, because they grew up in Japan.
Yep.
But
it has an excuse.
It has an excuse, but it's a bad excuse, because kids that have parents that are one language, and even if they grow up in a different country, still speak that language that their parents grew are perfectly. I know this because I have Japanese cousins who grew up in a bilingual household and they speak both English and Japanese perfectly. They didn't speak until they were like four because bilingual kids don't. They spend their entire time learning two languages, and then when they speak, they know two languages, which is crazy to me that like that they can just do that. So they're like, everyone's like, oh, why isn't your kid speaking yet? Like, my kid's already talking. It's like, because my kid is learning two languages. So
your kid might have been speaking at two, but it's because it was trying to learn one dumb language.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I still think that it would have been better, even if they'd had bilingual voice actors, like properly bilingual voice actors. Like, hire my cousin.
Oh.
But I also understand that Chihaya was, like, this was made in 2013, and that was not the standard of anime back then. It is more commonplace nowadays to see that, because I think that has been a constructive criticism for anime for a while. Going back to Zom 100, we saw it there with a German character who was voiced by a German voice actor, so that then when she spoke in Japanese, she still had the German accent in Japanese. Because even if you're an English speaker and you don't know a lick of Japanese, you can still hear when somebody is speaking a language accented compared to everybody else who is speaking that language. Like for instance, Spanish, I don't know. Okay, I took Spanish in high school, but I know like two sentences in Spanish. But if I heard somebody who wasn't Spanish speaking Spanish in amongst a crowd of Spanish speakers, I would still be able to tell who has the accent.
Yeah. Which the perfect example of mm-hmm. this is the voice actress who did Carol from Tomo-chan.
Yeah.
Because she did both the English and the Japanese dub
mm-hmm.
for Carol. So that's a prime example of somebody who can do both, because she did both mm-hmm. and both performances are impeccable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that is one of my criticisms of Chihaya. But like I said, this was back in 2013 when that was not the standard. So there's that. There are animation inconsistencies as well, not during the gameplay. The gameplay is consistently good. The animation inconsistencies come during simpler scenes, and I think that's likely because they were probably getting like trainees or interns or you know, newer employees to be doing the simpler scenes, and it's sometimes visible within the anime. It doesn't detract from the storyline at all, but it's something that Brad and I pay incredible attention to because we've been doing this for 4 years, and so our brains do not shut up.
And it's one of those things to where I feel like I don't harp on this as much anymore mm-hmm. because the show turns it on whenever it needs to turn it on,
mm-hmm.
both for the matches and even just in general. Like, even during like the slice of life scenes, if it wants to be pretty, it will be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially the first season being done in 2011 and the season being done in 2013, fucking impeccable. Whenever it wanted to be, like, if it wanted to be simple and dumb, yeah, it does it. Hell, that at this point, that it's a trope
mm-hmm.
because everything does it. Even modern shit. God, what was the most recent thing we watched where it did that? I don't even know, but Zom 100 did it. Fucking everything does it.
Yeah. I'm just seeing if Zom 100 was the one that we covered last before this.
I don't recall anything anymore. My brain is... Yeah, Free Run did it at points, which Free Run was more derpy than it was like the super simplistic art style.
Mm-hmm.
Which Free Run will be over in a couple of weeks, so we can add that to the list of things to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the show has a really good thorough sense of humor throughout it. There are parts of it that are just dumb. Some of the competitors from other schools are super dumb and fairly shallow characters. Some of them do have more depth to them, but some of them are just really shallow. There are also some really bizarre gimmicks throughout the show, like She has love for strange characters that the queen also has a love for strange characters. So, like, that's a running gag, is that those two characters have, like, are covered in strange snowmen usually. We also get, I've forgotten her name, Kana-chan. Kanade, yeah. She, I just minimized you. Go back, Brad. She is a fourth wall breaker. And that's quite funny.
Yeah, it is great.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other things that are like, just, there's dumb little gimmicks that are throughout the show that make it more lighthearted, because there is, it's not heavy content. It's just a card game with 100 dead poets. Like, that's, there's a level of like intense nerd history and just like, I don't want to say boring shit, but kind of boring shit. Like, it's entertaining to me, but it's boring shit, you know, that has to be talked about throughout the show and has to have its explanation moments and has to have its impassioned speeches of, no, but these poems are important because of the history of love and shit, you know? And if you don't like that, you're not going to like the show. So they do, but if they do too much of it, then it's just too much. So they break it up with these dumb moments of comedy, which are just kind of like moments. Like, they're not like laugh out loud, hold your belly, I'm dying moments. They're just like dumb.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where this is not a show that I could show anyone.
Agreed.
Like, this isn't something that I would, you know, sit down and make Walker and Bree watch like I did with Oshinoko. Like, this is not that kind of show. This is only something you show someone that has been watching anime for a long time that just wants something different.
Yeah.
Because even like a regular sports anime fan, like if they were still new to the genre, I wouldn't show them this.
Mm.
But considering, you know, how long you and I had watched anime up to this point, like, it was a good suggestion on your part to have us watch this, because we know what to expect going into anime, to where we know, like, you know, what the tropes are going to be and, like, what to and what not to take seriously. And then this show just kind of takes those aspects and expands on them. Because is it a, how did I put it in that one episode where I nearly got you cackling to death? Like, it's a stupid card game anime. And yet it's incredibly well written. It's well paced. It has the ability to make you feel whatever emotion it wants you to feel and just take you along on a journey that, although it is about 100 poems, it is captivating and makes you, for one, care about those 100 poems, care about the characters, and just give you a slight glimpse into the, you know, deep, rich history that Japan is founded upon.
Yeah, and that's kind of it, really, for the show. Like, we didn't really talk about, like, the winners or anything, but, like, everybody won that needed to win this season. Chiha is very good at that. They tease you enough. They give you enough losses to then make the wins satisfying, but they don't withhold the wins to the point of frustration. Some sports animes knock you down and beat you up, and it's rare to find them that successfully do that consistently. There's only one that I can think of that I won't mention because that will spoil. But consistent losses suck when you're watching a sports anime. But Chihaya gives you enough losses to make the wins reasonable. And some of the losses are done in different ways as opposed to, like, actual card game losses. You also get, like, losses of injury or losses of determination, losses of position, like being subbed out, like that kind of thing gives you those small losses consistently throughout the storyline. One thing I did think was interesting about this season is that Ayase gets a finger injury, and she has to have surgery where they put a piece of metal into her finger bone. And she was in hospital for a week. I had day surgery. They kicked me out that day, and they put a huge chunk of metal in my ulna, in my like an arm bone. I was like, man, if that's how they do it in Japan, dude, I wish I had a week stay in the hospital after that. Like, I had to go to the ER the next day. Like, that shit was not good.
Oh, you're going to be fun at the airport in a few months.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Just beep.
Well, yeah, hopefully now with the big scanny thing, I won't metal detect. But I'll just be like, I promise it's in my arm. You can't get it out. Literally screwed into the bone.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. I mean, it's not like I can hide it.
It's very well hidden. What do you mean?
I mean, true. The sky kind of gives it away. Perfectly hidden.
All you gotta do is just show them the scar.
Just
walk up.
I got it.
Want to know how I got these scars?
It's like a 6-inch scar. I got like a 6-inch scar there. I don't have a room. Don't. You're such a. I do have a ruler. I'm gonna measure this. I pulled a man. It's 5 inches.
Oh, so question.
Yeah.
How does that compare to a dandelion?
Messaging me on Discord. Go away.
Okay. Who is interrupting fun Discord conversation time? Except we don't record Discord anymore.
That I haven't responded to. Shall I read it?
Sure, why not?
It says...
I'll determine whether or not I need to cut it out.
it's just about Ushinaka.
Oh, look at that.
She asked when season 2 was going to drop, and I just said sometime in 2024, probably this summer. She said, gotcha. Can't wait to watch it. 4! Season 1 was so good. 3! At first I wasn't sure because it was a little odd, haha, but it got so good. 3! Sucked me in. 1!
Oh.
I'm so glad you liked it. Oh my God, I'm yelling that. Okay, yeah.
It's perfect.
Okay, we're just...
All caps.
We're gonna get rid of that and try that again. So glad you liked... I can't type liked it. How many exclamation marks? Let's do 4. Match that energy.
That's so out of character for you, though.
It's girl talk. It's different. Girls use every exclamation mark ever. Except my previous message to that had 0 grammar. No, I had 1.
I was going to say, anytime you message me, like, even whenever we're excited about shit, it's just like, no punctuation whatsoever.
No, I don't send punctuation. And you know what? Okay, so we have a friend, Jen. We've spoken about her a million times on the podcast. She's an author. Pen name, E.H. Demeter. She's great. She texts me with a period at the end of the sentences, and I always think I'm in trouble.
You see?
She's like, hey, period. And I'm like, don't fuck at me. I'm like, are you going to yell at me? Like, did I do something?
And you see, I feel like you and I have had this conversation before. I don't know if it was just you and I or if it was on the podcast. But I feel like that's why I always put exclamation marks and shit whenever I send it to you, because I feel like otherwise you're going to misinterpret my meaning.
It's purely my anxiety. Like, that's no reason for me to think that you're mad at me. But if somebody sends me a message where it's like, hey, and it's, there's a period, I'm in trouble. In my head, I'm in trouble. I've done something and you're going to yell at me.
Oh, I'm going to have to
chat, period. No. No, you can't. No, we're not talking. Not. I'm not going to speak to you for a week. I'm never responding to this message. You've scared me.
I'm going to keep this in mind. This is going to go into my back pocket.
Oh, God. It freaks me out.
Oh, it's perfect.
I think that's because I'm the Zoomer. You guys are millennials. And I think it's a Zoomer trait.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, like, I've learned your habits.
Mm.
So if you do something that is out of pocket, then therefore I'm going to be like, the fuck's the matter with you?
The fuck?
Oh, just because, like, I know you so well, so if anything is even the slightest bit off, I'm like, okay, what's going on here?
What the fuck's going on with you?
Something is sideways that doesn't need to be sideways, so let's try to mitigate this. So,
on a scale of 1 to 10, how anxious are you feeling? Yes. Well, we've been chatting for over an hour. An hour and a quarter.
So the real question here is, what do you give it?
Sentimental, 10. Reality with podcast brain on.
8.5.
7.
Oh.
8.5. I'm 7.
I was just guessing 8.5. I didn't think that you were taking off a whole 3 points.
I don't know why. I have no reason for it to be a 7 other than that feels like the appropriate number. And that isn't my... Some of these times when I'm doing this, it's really personal. Like the 10 out of 10 or whatever it is like, that's a personal thing and I've thrown all the shit out the window and I'm voting it that way because I want to. The 7 out of 10 feels like where it should be. And I don't know why. It's a 10 out of 10 in my heart. Like, I love it. And I genuinely wish that everyone would watch it and enjoy it. But it feels like a 7 out of 10 because of small, stupid things that are just 2013 things that don't hold up with the content that we review most of the time.
Do you think it's just because half of it is right up your alley and the other half is not?
No, I think I don't enjoy the teasing of romance where it's just not, I'm a blunt person. I like straight up stories where it's like, if you're going to have a romance, just let me know. You know, like I do prefer, like if I'm going to watch romantic content, that is the kind of romantic content that I enjoy more. And I think you've seen that throughout my ratings and my preferences of show. Like, Ice Guy and My Cool Female Colleague.
Yep.
I liked that show. It was very straightforward. There's a couple of other shows where I've like, I have had a romantic element to that and I've enjoyed it because it's none of this like wishy-washy kind of will they, won't they shit. I also really don't like love triangles as a premise. The only reason why Chihaya's doesn't piss me off is because Chihaya herself isn't leading either of those guys on. Yeah. She does not know that shit is happening. Mm-hmm. She's completely oblivious. If she was knowledgeable of her environment, I would not like her as a person. Because personally, one of those traits that really frustrates me in humans in general is when you know somebody, you're aware somebody has feelings for you, and you are not interested in them. And they're trying to pursue you. It's not like in a way where it's like they don't, like they have feelings, but they're not acting on them. Like in this case, Tai Chi is like trying to pursue in a way. If Chihaya was aware that Tai Chi was doing that and did not pull him aside and have a conversation of like, hey, just so you know, I think we're good friends and that's where I want to stick it, I wouldn't appreciate that as a character trait of her.
Yeah.
But because she's oblivious, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That plot I don't like in general, though. So I think that is one of the reasons why I'm not... why this show does have elements to it that make me not... like, I don't remember that element to it. It's not that I strongly dislike it, because, like I said, G.I. doesn't know. But, like, it's that... that's a personal preference of a plot line that I just don't like. Other aspects of it, the animation doesn't hold up to today's standard, when some shows that were made in 2013 do hold up. So there is that. Some of the jokes didn't land for me personally because they're just dumb, and that's fine. I still appreciate them for what they are, just personal preference. The part of this show that I really, 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 really love that kind of gives it all of its 7 points are the sports aspect about this historical card game that I had no idea about, and the character progression and growth. That is what this show is about for me. That is why I love this show. The other elements, like I said, are good. They're not great. They're good. But they allow for those two aspects to really shine. If they were also great, I still think those aspects would shine because those are great. But I think everything else apart from those two aspects of the show is just good. So that's, I think, why I'm at a 7.
Fair enough. I get it.
What about you?
8.25.
8.25. Okay, fair enough. I feel like I was really harsh now, but that's just where I feel comfortable.
I mean, like I said, I figured you're going to be at an 8 or an 8.5, but...
yeah, I don't know why I'm sitting at a 7. Like, yeah, it just feels right.
Oh, well, I mean...
First season, I think it might be higher, but...
I'm very curious about the third season, because you haven't started it, and I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very curious to, well, for one, hear both of our thoughts on it, but two, just, I don't know, give us something to sink our teeth into and enjoy from like a fresh, kind of more caught up mindset now. So I'm excited to get to that at some point in the near future. This time,
yes.
Instead of waiting 2 or 3 years in between episodes.
Honestly.
God, that's pretty much what they did, though. Fucking 2013 to 2019 between seasons. That's fucking Attack on Titan levels of how far can we push shit off.
Honestly. We need to also cover the second season of Vox Machina, because we have seen your comments. It's coming.
Actually, that's what I was going to say. That's what we're going to do next week, because we don't have anything on the schedule next week. So we're doing season 2 of Vox Machina.
Oh, okay, perfect. It's written in the notebook, so it's happening.
One of the conversations that we were having in the comments section of the video, too, which, by the way, YouTube video is officially happening on the YouTube channel. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. If that's the biggest fucking plug we can make in this episode, go check out the YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. We appreciate it. Get that engagement up, because it's been fucking ages since we've done the YouTube thing. So we need the engagement.
We do.
God, we need the engagement so bad, because we were doing so great. And then my PC shit the bed, and then I lost all motivation, drive, and went into a deep, dark, spiraling depression over not being able to put YouTube videos out and disappointing the other individual in this call.
You didn't disappoint me.
It's fine. I disappointed myself enough to where I felt the disappointment.
Nobody that mattered was disappointed. No,
I'm just kidding. Ow.
No, it was fine. Shit happens, but we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Newly motivated. This whole new year is pretty much nothing but motivation for the two of us to do shit.
Yeah, I have 2 fairly functioning hands now. We love that.
I don't know
what to do with my hands. Brad has organs that are working.
Yeah, 2 of them are slightly broken, but we're fine.
But they're working, and that's all we care about.
Slightly, but we're still caring. It's okay. They'll be working much better after I lose about 70 pounds. Easy.
I just hit the desk with my fingernails.
Easy.
Yeah, right?
You gotta be careful. No more injuries before Japan.
After Japan, though. Go ham. Yeah, what were you saying about the comment section on YouTube?
Oh, one of the things that we were discussing is I can't wait for the new show that Critical Role is doing, because they're animating the campaign that I'm currently listening to for the Mighty Nein, which is the general consensus of everybody's favorite Critical Role campaign. So I cannot wait for that. That was one of the things we were talking about in that comment section, is just like, it's very highly anticipated. But yeah, nice. So thanks to the comments, you guys are getting Vox Machina a lot sooner than I had planned on, but also I've kind of meant for us to cover that ever since we did the first one and the second season came out.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Also, the YouTube channel has some catching up to do. So if you are listening to this and you go over to the YouTube channel, you'll probably, if you're a consistent listener of the podcast on like Spotify or whatever, you'll probably see some old episodes up on the YouTube channel, because we have catch up that we're doing now. And then once we're caught up, then we're going to be releasing on the YouTube channel consistently at the same time as we release them on podcasting platforms. We also have new content going up on the YouTube channel. So we have Back to Our Roots, which is a Stardew Valley let's play, basically, where Brad's playing Stardew Valley, and then it's just him and I having bants over Stardew Valley, where we talk about random stuff that don't really fit onto the podcast. So we end up just having random tangents. They were supposed to be about 15-20 minutes long, but we ramble, so you never know. We also got a bunch more content in the works planned for the YouTube channel. And also, our Japan trip is going to be vlogged on the YouTube channel. So be subscribed for that. Obviously, that's not until October, so there is some time. But all of our, like, we'll probably be making some videos leading up to the Japan trip, talking about how we're planning everything and like our steps for the Japan trip that we're taking, because I feel like that is also interesting content for people that are also planning on traveling to Japan. Like, what you're looking at, what you're interested in doing, how you did shit.
Can we just become like a Japan-centric channel where that's all we Japan talk about? Bloggers? Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what we're
going to do. I'm here for that. That's totally something I want to do. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay, cool. Great. Cool. New channel direction. We are now Japan Travel Vloggers.
You heard it here first. This is no longer B&B anime. This is just B&B. Oh, fancy B&B mug. B&B
vlogs. Yeah, it's butterflies. Because I have two drinks prepared.
I have one. It's strawberry Gatorade. It tastes like a... I think it's a watermelon Jolly Rancher. Like, what's the pinkish one?
Yeah, watermelon.
That's what it reminds me of, even though this is strawberry. So, I don't know. Ichigo Gatorade.
Yeah, I have squash, but you won't know what that is.
Isn't that, like, British Kool-Aid, right? Is that right?
Kind of.
Or, like, fruit it's punch like of British some?
Liquid Kool-Aid.
Wait.
You know how like Kool-Aid was always powders, and then eventually you got those like little like Mio squeezy tubes, and then Kool-Aid came out with squeezy tubes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Britain's had that for decades. It's called squash. It's a concentrated fruit syrup, basically, that you pour, you dilute with water. Ribena, Robinson's fruit squash. Different flavors. I have apple and blackcurrant right now. Then you guys decided that, Mio decided, hey, we can take this thing that's very popular in Britain called squash that you buy in giant bottles, and we can sell it in tiny packages that you squirt into your water so that we can sell more of them with higher amounts of packaging for more expensive cost. So you have to buy tiny little ones where you squirt as a whole fucking thing into your water to make it taste like anything. And you have to pay $5 for that shit. Whereas I buy a whole 2-liter bottle for $5. So I don't understand what that was about, America, that you just rebranded squash and decided to call it your own thing. It's squash. It's a concentrated fruit flavored syrup that you pour into water and dilute. Like, it's squash.
Capitalism. That is finest.
Honestly, that was one of those things where I saw it and I saw the adverts for it and I was like, that's just squash. And then they were like, this new brand new idea that we just came up with for America, wow. And I was like, that's literally squash. I was like, that's been around for decades across the pond. Like, you're not even calling it squash though. Like, squash is the drink, then there are brands of the drink. Squash is the name of, like, it's like how cola, and then you have like Pepsi and then Coke. Like, the drink is squash.
So I, slightly off topic but still on topic, I have one request whenever I take the weekend trip to Canada this year.
Okay.
I want Fruitopia.
Okay.
That is...
Yeah, you can get it at the grocery store.
Yeah, that's because that doesn't exist here anymore. That hasn't existed in years.
I think you can buy it in Dollarama as well.
I don't know what that is, but...
Dollar Tree, but Canadian.
So, like, $2 tree. Toonie tree.
Yeah. Dollarama. Effectively, though, depending on what you buy. Because some things are, like, $4. And you're like, this is Dollarama. Why is it $4? And they're like, because it's big. And or, like, a jar of something. And you're like, all right, fair enough. But you said Dollarama.
Yeah, something about you talking about squash just like tickled that part of my brain that was like, wait, you said Canada still has Fruitopia, even though this isn't a topic that we have discussed in years.
I'm going on Amazon and I'm seeing Fruitopia. That's not how you spell any words. There we go. Yep, you can buy it on Amazon. I mean, you can buy it on Amazon.ca. Good luck. Yes.
Can I just like get that shipped to your house and then you can put that in a care package for me?
I mean, you don't even need to get it shipped to my house. I can just go to the store and get it.
That'll be fine.
I can. Wow, you can buy Prime hydration packets. Like what? Kool-Aid, but Prime.
Interesting. I'm
down a rabbit hole.
See, I didn't know that Prime had like hydration packets.
Neither did I.
But I will say, Prime is delicious.
Is it? I haven't had it.
It is, you know, most sports drinks are salty, but that's because it's trying to replenish sodium.
Yeah.
Prime replenishes magnesium, so that makes it sweet. So it's weird, but it's still, I don't know, it's delicious.
I heard it's like got way too much caffeine and got banned in Australia because of it.
Well, so the regular sports drink doesn't have caffeine, but they do have like canned Prime that does have caffeine. And that shit's got a lot of fucking caffeine. I haven't had it, but I've also, I had coffee for the first time yesterday in 2 months since I've been sick. So that was fun.
Bouncing off the walls.
No, caffeine has never actually bothered me. I don't know if it's because I grew up drinking Coke out of a bottle.
It's because ADHD.
That's also true. Caffeine quiets the voices and like calms the ADHD.
Stimulants work backwards for people with ADHD. So yeah. We self-medicate with caffeine. So when people ask me, hey, why are you having a coffee at 10 p.m. at night? I'm like, so I can go to bed.
No joke. Like, people think it's baffling that I can down a fucking energy drink and then still go to bed like right afterwards. And it's just because it calms the ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's great. Anyway, we've been rambling.
Yeah, I said we should wrap this up 15 minutes ago. So let's try and wrap this up.
Socials, BNB Anime, Brad Garen VO, or Brad Carter Gaming, Blue's Lavenders. Blue has an Etsy shop where you can buy stickers at Etsy.com/Blue Francis Art.
Yes. And by the time you listen to this, the B&B Etsy shop will be up and running with our first batch of ramen stickers. They are a little ramen bowl design that Brad made. The package for Brad's approval has already been sent, so it will arrive to Brad at some point. And once he has approved the stickers, which I think he will do because I think they're great quality, then I will be listing the ones that I have up for sale right away. And I will be placing a batch for a bunch of other designs. So we'll probably just be the ramen bowl for the first couple days. And then once I get the batches of the other stickers in with other designs, then they will also be going up on the Etsy shop as soon as possible. So yeah, that's B&B Anime, www.com/Etsy B&B Anime. Etsy.com/B&B Anime is the Etsy shop. It will be posted on our socials and in the descriptions of videos and shit, so you'll find it.
And then for business related purposes, if you need to reach out to us for any, you know, podcast related things, bradandblue@bnvanime.com. we have fancy email addresses, so for business inquiries you can reach out to us there. Hooray
Yeah. And again, those emails will be posted in the description of the YouTube videos, so that's probably the best way to copy them directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Vox Machina 2 next week.
Yay! But outside of that, see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. A long one.